If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. We come to you today with great joy, sharing with you the good things that God is doing for us here at Worth Baptist Church. You will recall that at the beginning of the summer, we admonished you to join with us in prayer for spiritual renewal in summer revival. God has answered prayer, and we're in the midst of the greatest summer in the history of our church. For example, last Sunday, the first Sunday of August, we had 586 in our Sunday school. God added 8 to our church rolls, and a spirit of revival with record worship service crowds and a tremendous and overwhelming spirit of unity prevailed throughout the day. 586 in Sunday school is indeed a summer record. In fact, only on our anniversary days have we exceeded this many in Sunday school in our 20-year history. We are truly experiencing a tremendous revival in the days of the summer here at Worth Baptist Church. And we want to invite you to come and share these things with us. God is doing wonderful things. Every service is a revival service, and spiritual renewal in summer revival is the order of the day at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school today begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. We extend to you this cordial and personal invitation to be our guest today in Sunday school at 10 o'clock here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship service begins at 7. We invite you to bring the whole family. Bring a neighbor. Bring a friend. Let's share together in these marvelous days of glorious revival in the summertime here at Worth Baptist Church. All over the city, people are talking about the good things that God is doing for us here at Worth Baptist. And we want you to be a part of it. Come today. Come expecting. Come believing. Come praying. Come and know that God is going to do something for your heart and for your life. And not only are we praying for revival in our church, we are praying for revival all over the city of Fort Worth and across America and around the world. With all of the difficulties that we face in Washington and in Austin, and in all the capitals of all of our states, in all of our cities, with all of these problems and difficulties, we recognize more than ever before that we need revival in America. All of our churches need to be praying for revival. And we believe that revival is the answer. We do not believe that a balanced budget, a stabilized economy, a greater stockpile of ammunition, and all of these things will answer our needs and solve our problems. But we do believe that Jesus Christ is able to meet them. The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and every nation that forgets God. America's destiny is still in the hands of God, and the destiny of all the nations of earth is still in the hands of God. And your destiny is in God's hands. Wherever you are today, whatever you're doing even in this hour, whatever your past or present, the destiny of your soul is still in God's hands. So we invite you to join with us in praying every day for revival in America and revival around the world. We invite you again to come and see what God is doing in spiritual renewal and summer revival here at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street, in Fort Worth. Recently, we have purchased 14 acres of ground just off Loop 820, adjoining the Fort Worth State School property. We hope in the near future to begin our construction there to relocate our entire church plant. And we want you to pray with us that God's will be done and that God will open the doors in that direction. We believe Fort Worth needs revival. We believe that the community needs to be stirred by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're asking God to continue the revival that He has begun in our midst during the days of the summer. Furthermore, we would be happy to hear from you by mail this week. We're not asking you to send monies to support this broadcast. We only want to know that you hear it. And anytime you write, we'd be happy to send to you, upon your request, the messages that are preached on Worth Baptist Hour. Write today to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. May the Lord bless you as you write to us even today. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, He Came. I shall read from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, at verse 11. But before we read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are eternally grateful today for the tremendous spirit of revival that prevails in our midst. And we thank Thee for this broadcast and for the medium of radio to reach hundreds for Christ. We pray today that every soul, every person listening might be blessed of the Holy Spirit, that Thou wouldst take the message to every heart and to every life. We pray, dear God, that revival would come to America, and revival would come to our city and to our community and to our churches and to our lives. May that great spirit of revival break loose and break forth all across this great nation of ours today. And use this broadcast to stir the hearts of the people who hear it today is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And with thanksgiving, amen. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, I read at verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the chief character and grand subject of the entire Bible. His image is stamped upon every chapter, upon every verse, and in every line. Every page bears the likeness and the majestic glory of Jesus Christ. In the books of the law, he is the lawyer. In the history books, Jesus Christ is the historian. In the books of prophecy, our Lord Jesus is the great prophet. In the books of song, he is the singer. In the books of poetry, Jesus Christ is the poet. In the Gospels, he's the gospeler. In the book of Acts, he's the great actor. In the epistles, he's the marvelous subject. And in the book of the Revelation, it is he who is revealed to John the beloved apostle on the Isle of Patmos. So from beginning to end, from the opening of the book of Genesis to the closing of the book of the Revelation, our Lord Jesus Christ is the central thought and the chief character of all divine revelation. Jesus Christ is tender without being weak. He took the little children upon his knee and said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus Christ is strong without being brutal or abrasive. He went into the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and drove them out, admonishing them to keep his house as a house of prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ is great without being proud. We read in Philippians chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a slave, and was found in likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, to the glory of God." Our Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh without losing his deity. He was made sin without becoming sinful. He was made under the law without becoming a tyrant. I've entitled my message, He Came. My text says, He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want to share with you three things concerning the coming of Jesus Christ into the flesh. First of all, Jesus Christ came when the world was perishing in darkness and sin. When we look back to the Garden of Eden, and there the first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God, sin made its debut into the human race. And all of Adam's race became a cursed race, a sinful race, by the disobedience of the first man and the first woman. And from that moment till this, every war that's ever been fought, every person who has ever died, all of the problems, the difficulties of mankind can be traced back to the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. The Bible tells us that all men are born in sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. So Jesus Christ, coming into the world, came at a time when men needed to be freed from sin and enlightened and brought out of the darkness of this world system. The sky above mankind was dark when the pagans ruled the world. The star of hope had disappeared. Babylon, with all of its wealth, had failed to satisfy man. Greece, with all of its splendor, could not save the world. And Rome, with all of its majestic power, could not redeem mankind. Judaism had failed. Paganism was a bitter disappointment. And religion, as such, had run its course, leaving man empty and frustrated. Then something wonderful happened. The morning light broke through the darkened sky. God's sunshine of love appeared in a manger. And the world got its first glimpse of true glory when Jesus Christ came in a day of darkness and in a day of sin. Aren't you glad that he came? Aren't you glad that he has rolled the dark clouds of sin and heartache and troubles and problems and difficulties away? Aren't you glad today that Jesus Christ ever lives? Aren't you glad that he came to die and that he came to remove all of the fear and frustration from our hearts? I repeat, Jesus Christ came when the world was perishing in darkness and in sin. In the second place, we would note that Jesus Christ came when mankind needed a revelation from God. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, at verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, after that he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ came to reveal God. There was never a full revelation of God until Jesus Christ came into the world. God had spoken in ages past before the coming of Christ. God had spoken to the fathers of Israel, the great nation of Israel, by the prophets. And God had revealed himself in various ways. But the only full and final and ultimate and complete revelation of God came when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world in the flesh, and he alone reveals God unto us. I read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world. And he was received up into glory. So we might say that the coming of Jesus Christ to reveal the Father was a divine drama, a drama like unto which there has never been before, and like unto which there shall never be. This drama was in six acts. Act number one, God was manifest in the flesh. That is, Jesus Christ came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He was very God and he was very man. Just as much God as though he had not been man, and just as much man as though he had not been God. Act 2, he was justified in the Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth for one express purpose, and that was to take away the sins of all mankind. So he was justified in the Spirit. And the Bible goes on to say concerning this great drama that in Act 3, he was seen of the angels. In Act 4, he was preached unto the Gentiles. Remember, the gospel was carried by the Apostle Paul in his missionary journeys to the then known world. And all across the world, the Gentiles heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Act 4, or Act 5, he was believed on in the world. All over the world, men have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Act 6, he was received up into glory. Jesus Christ went back to the glory world, where he is now seated at the right hand of God. And my friend, he is there to make intercession for you. All of those problems and difficulties that you're undergoing at this time, the sufferings, the anguish of soul, the disappointments, the trials, the burdens, the persecutions, I want you to know this one thing and get it clear. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and he is there to make intercession for you. He knows your every weakness. He knows your every problem. He knows all the difficulties of your life. Nothing has happened to you today, and nothing will happen to you tomorrow but what Jesus Christ knows all about it. And my friend, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. There is no case too hard for Christ. And since he has come to reveal the Father, all that you will ever need, you can receive by receiving Jesus Christ. And now, since he has come in the flesh to reveal the Father, we know all that we need to know about God. We know about God's wonderful love. In John 3:16, we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know all about God's mercy. The psalmist said, I will sing, yea, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And we know all about God's grace. We read from Paul's writing that the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only that, but we know about God's salvation. We know that God's salvation is for all men. He would not have any to perish, but that all would come to repentance and live. The salvation of God is a free gift. The salvation of God is for all men of all creeds and of all races and of all continents. And salvation belongeth unto the Lord. When Jesus Christ was born in yonder's Bethlehem, they named him Jesus, which means Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yes, Jesus Christ came at a time when we all needed a revelation from God. And then in the third area, Jesus Christ came when men needed to be redeemed from sin. In Luke 19:10, we read, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Paul writes in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth upon a tree. How did Jesus Christ do this? By his virgin birth? No. By his sinless life? No. By his wonderful example? No. He did it by going to the cross. He did it by suffering and bleeding and dying on Calvary's tree. He did it by bearing our sins in His own body, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Jesus Christ has redeemed us by washing us from our sins in His own blood. No wonder John says in the Revelation unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, to Him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. We read in the book of Titus, chapter 2, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. And Paul reminds us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in Acts 4, 12 it is written, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ came to redeem all mankind, and that means you. Even in this hour and in this moment, you can repent of your sins. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can have all your sins washed away. You can be redeemed. You can be pardoned. You can be forgiven. You can be made a child of God. Remember, my text says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You can become a son of God right now by your own personal faith in Jesus Christ. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. Jesus Christ came all the way to earth that we might go all the way to heaven. Men can go to heaven without wealth, without popularity, without fame, without fortune, without education. But, beloved, men cannot go to heaven without Christ. The only way that you can get to heaven is to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way for you to be saved today, except through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He came to save you, and this moment He'll do it. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I trust even now by your radio that you would simply bow your head and confess your sins and pray to God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. If you'll do it, Jesus Christ will save you even in this moment. May I take now this opportunity again to remind you that it would be our joy to have you worship God with us today. Come to study God's Word in the Sunday School hour at 10 o'clock. Come to worship in the morning worship service at 11 and in the Sunday evening worship hour at 7. And don't forget, we'll be looking to hear from you this week by mail. Write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now, until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your home, and upon your family. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.